To Conversations with Sarah. I'm Sarah Redden, creator of the SRTT Self-Care Club. Thank you for joining us today. You can find me on most social media platforms as SRTT Self-Care. And if you connect me on Facebook, you can join my Facebook group. Today, I'm joined by Sarah Davis, the parenting copywriter, sharing her experience of ME. Hi, Sarah. Thank you for joining me.
Hi, Sarah. Thanks for having me here. I'm Sarah. I'm the parenting copywriter now, running my own business, but I used to be a primary school teacher, and everything kind of changed really when I got ME. So I'd been a teacher for many years. I was really happy with what I was doing. I loved my job, really passionate about my job. I was literacy lead, mixed year 5-6 teacher, gifted and talented lead. I'd just got married. My husband and I had been together for 7 years prior to that. We were looking forward to our, you know, life together, married. Mm, we were wanting to start a family. And then I was poorly and I got appendicitis about 6 weeks after we got married. And then I got laryngitis, and then I got laryngitis again. And then I got ME. And after that last bout of laryngitis, I struggled to get out of bed. I was just exhausted. Achy, my brain didn't feel entirely with it, and it was just a struggle. And I thought, well, okay, I'm getting over the laryngitis, but I had a tendency to always go at top speed with everything, like working at a high level, top speed, throwing myself full length into everything. I was sporty, I was sociable, going out, I was newly married, I loved my job. And everything I did, I flung myself fully into. Mm. And so suddenly there I was, unable to do anything, and it didn't feel like me. And I was resisting it. I was trying to get out and do what I could, but I just couldn't get out of bed, and I just couldn't get out of the house. And as time went on, the doctor said, well, you know, it might just be a post-viral thing, but, you know, the longer it's going on, it could be something like ME. So they did blood tests. They did all kinds of tests to see whether, you know, they could find any other cause, any other reason. But I was just really struggling, and I kept trying to go back into school, and I kept still struggling with it. And it got to the point in the end where I wasn't able to go in and teach. I wasn't able to do anything. I needed a stick to walk to the end of the street. I couldn't have phone conversations longer than 5 minutes. I'd have to say to a friend, right, well, can I bring you back in a little while because I'm struggling. I couldn't watch TV or listen to the radio or read a book or anything like that. My concentration and focus wasn't there. It was just a hazy fuzz of exhaustion, really. And, you know, I kept telling myself, oh, pull yourself out of this, you know, come and get on with it. And it was just a real struggle. And suddenly, I mean, my husband went from being, you know, we were newly married, him being more like my carer, which was really hard for him because he runs his own small business. So he was out dealing with customers and then coming back to look after me. He was having to do the cleaning, the cooking. He would put my breakfast out in the morning, and then he would leave the things I needed to make my lunch. And halfway through the morning, I would go and make my lunch for something to do. And then I would sit there till lunchtime, watching the clock till it was time to have my lunch. And I felt so guilty all the time that that I was putting all this on him. And it was hard for him as well, because he didn't feel like he could go out and enjoy himself and do things he wanted to do because it didn't feel right when I was at home suffering and struggling.
So
that was the life we were living, and it was really no life. And I went to the hospital. The hospital did everything. They sort of said, you know, well, take short walks. And so I did. And you know, I did short purposeful walks. So I would walk down the hill to the shop to buy a pint of milk, and my husband would pick me up because I couldn't walk back up the hill, but it was a purpose for going out for the walk. Mm. So, you know, I did things like that, whereas the people around me, some of them at the ME support groups, they were saying, well, if you can't play around a golf, why swing a golf club? If you can't go for a hike, why walk to the end of the street? Mm. And, you know, they were really struggling with it, and they didn't see that small steps were a means to an end.
I can relate to that, because as I shared before we were talking, I've got a chronic health diagnosis of fibromyalgia and ME. I was given an exercise referral to the gym, and I was given a 5-minute workout And that for me was like, what is the point? I've been someone previously who liked doing like body pump and Aquafit and things like that. It at that point for me, it was like, I don't want to go to the gym and do a 5-minute workout. I look ridiculous. I was worried what other people would think. The recovery for that took me so long. So I can relate to being at that stage where it all feels like, what's the point? And it was a journey for me to get to where I am now. But you didn't have that. You were immediately sort of focused on what you could do and how you could do it.
Yeah, and I think it was that determination, because I really wanted to have children. I'd been a primary school teacher. I loved working with children. You know, we'd been together for 7 years before we got married. We were ready to start the family that we'd talked about for years. And I couldn't think of starting a family because I needed looking after. My concentration was all over the place. I'd leave a pot on the stove, so I wasn't allowed to cook. You know, my husband would do all that, and like crossing the road, I'd be all over the place. So, you know, the idea of bringing a child in and not having the energy to cope and putting even more on my husband, it just wasn't even in the picture. And yet I was in my early 30s, so I was aware of like time constraints of having a baby and all those things as well. And I just wanted my life back. And what I didn't know at the time was I was pushing myself too far, really. So for example, we'd booked a holiday to like a holiday of a lifetime. We booked 4 weeks to travel. We were going to Australia via Singapore. We were going up to the Barrier Reef. We were going to Sydney and Melbourne. And it was a big holiday that we'd planned. And then we were planning on starting a family after that. And it was all booked. So the doctor said, well, you might as well be tired there as be tired at home. You've already booked it. Mm-hmm. I climbed the Sydney Harbour Bridge. I couldn't stand 2 days later. I couldn't talk 2 days later. But what I would do is I would go out there and I would do whatever I wanted to do for me, for my husband, for both of us, you know, trying to live my life. And then 2 days later, I would just have this massive crash where I couldn't sleep, couldn't stand up. And I can remember 2 days after I'd done that Sydney Harbour Bridge climb, I was really pumped because it was great because I'd done what I wanted to do. And we were on a bus on the way to Bondi Beach. And I thought, I can't stand up anymore. I'm going to fall over here. And somebody stood up to move to allow somebody older to have a seat. And I just kind of flopped into it. And they had a go at me. They said, you know, like, excuse me, I stood up so an older person could sit down. And, you know, I was like, but if I, like my husband said, if she hadn't sat down, she would have probably fallen down. And it's that invisible illness. It's what people can't see and don't understand. You know, people said so many times, look, if you've got a pot on your leg, people would give up their seat. They would understand that you're struggling. But as a young person, in relatively young person in my 30s, fairly fit looking still, to them, there was no reason why I should need that seat.
And you managed to do something 2 days ago, so why is this difficult now? Surely there is that expectation, isn't there? If you can do something, you can always do the something. But my experience as well is, if I ask too much of myself, I need recovery time, and that is different now to how it was 5-6 years ago. But I'm mindful of, I also have the tendency to 100 miles an hour at everything, do everything. And actually that's not healthy. It's not sustainable. And it's really kind of being mindful about how I choose to use my energy and how I choose to protect my wellness, as opposed to just like, you need art for me. I want to do the things I want to do, of course. But sometimes that needs recovery. So it's scheduling that in. I don't know if that's the same for you now or different.
Not at all anymore, because I made a complete recovery in 2006. Basically, what happened with me is I did what the hospital was saying, and then the hospital said, there's no cure. You may just have to learn to live with the symptoms. Mm. I went to an ME group, and there were people there saying, oh yeah, I just listen to audio tapes, and I've had this for 10 years and I can't do anything, and you'll probably never recover, and you just have to get used to it. And I was like, no, I can't do this. And I didn't go back to that group, because for me it just felt too negative. And I was struggling, And don't get me wrong, I felt negative too. And I felt all those emotions of, why me? I don't deserve this. It's not fair. Why have other people got this energy? Why are the people around me able to go and start a family? I want my life back. I want my marriage back. I don't want to be this person for my husband, as well as not being this person for me. Fortunately, we've been together 7 years, so he knew that this was not at all like me. I tried to go back to school. I went back to school part-time, and which was, I was sad about, because I loved my full-time job and teaching year five and six, and they said I couldn't teach in year six because they didn't want a part-time teacher in year six in SATs, so they put me in year four or five instead, which was okay, job sharing, but it felt like it was still like a full-time job. I couldn't really, thinking about it now, it was extremely dangerous, but I could hardly even remember how I got home some days. And then the work, I would work all week, literally every hour that I had. I maintained that job for several months because I knew that if I did that, then when I left, I could go back if I ever got better. But if I left, like, after having ill health leave, I would struggle to walk into another job. So I did it, and I forced myself, and I managed, but I was just flat out the rest of the time. And I applied for a job as a library assistant, 10 hours a week. So I went from full paid teacher job to 10 hours a week, practically on the minimum wage in a library, with my hours split during the week. And my manager was really understanding. Some of my co-workers were not so. They said, like, you know, well, why do you get to have, you know, to sort of have this leeway, and, you know, you can do a bit physically and then you have to have a sit down, and why do you get to have a longer break? It's like, because I start earlier, and because I've got the arrangement with the manager, and because I've got ME and it's classed as a disability. But eventually I stood up for myself and went to the manager and said, look, this is what's happening. But it was really hard because I just was kind of taking this view that other people were throwing at me, that, you know, and accepting that that was their view, and not being able to stand up for myself. But in the end, I did speak to the manager and they didn't have a word and explain because they understood. So I did that, and I couldn't get a disability badge. So I had to walk to the library from where I could park, by which point I was exhausted. Like, I went to the supermarket because I didn't have the badge, you know, like by the time I got to the supermarket, by the time I got to the shops, I was too exhausted to shop. So I'd just have to sit for a while. So I managed, but I was, what I was doing was like this boom slump cycle. So I was doing everything and then crashing up, and I was going like this on a roller coaster.
Yeah.
And the hospital had said that that's not a good way to be. You just have to kind of steady things out. And then eventually my husband heard something on the radio. Now, we'd never been into any idea of alternative therapies at all. We were just like, you know, if something's wrong, you go to the doctor. If the hospital says there's no cure, you know, you hope, you can hope, but at the end of the day, what they say, and that's what you do. So he heard this thing on the radio about a clinic called the Lightning Process. And some of you might have heard of it before. Some of you might have been through the experience and it hasn't worked for you. For some people, it might have. But he heard this on the radio and he was like, wow, that sounds like you. That sounds like something that could work. So he researched into it because he's one of these that will overthink everything and take ages to go over everything in his mind. So we massively looked into it, and it did cost us to go down to London because we had to stay overnight, and cost us to go to the clinic for these 3 days. And they said it's it'll be like 2-hour seminars and small group chats. And I was thinking, how can I do that? You know, I can't focus on watching telly. How can I do that? But we were so, like, life had been so hard and we were struggling so much, and financially we were struggling and savings were rapidly going down. And we thought, you know what, we're going to go for it. When I filled out the forms, they said, you have to be on board with this. You have to be open-minded, because if you don't, if you're not open-minded, it won't work. Part of me was like, yeah, I'm going to be open-minded about this. I was still slightly skeptical as to how can this work when the hospital couldn't cure me. But I was open-minded. I was willing to give it a go. And I went, and I still can't believe it now. And to people listening, you know, you may or may not feel that this kind of thing is for you. But I went along there, and basically, like, after sort of a day or two, we sat in Oxford Street. It was early December. We sat in a cafe, a popular cafe in Oxford Street, with all the busy throng of Christmas shopping, decorations and lights everywhere, music playing, busy with people. And I coped. And it's like, what on earth is happening? And I ran for a bus. I was like, oh, that's the bus we need. And I ran down the road. I was like, what? And I just kept thinking 2 days later, you know, okay, so I'm doing my adrenaline bit. And when I get to the point where the clinic finishes after the 3 days, I am going to have the most almighty nightmare of a crash. Mm. But so far, so good. And I never had the crash. And that was 2006. And I've climbed Helvellyn. I went back to teaching. I had my much longed for baby. I started my own business. I went from not being able to read a book or listen to the radio to writing a book and being interviewed live on the radio. And basically, I got my life back, but I got it back on my terms because I didn't want to go back to full-time teaching. It wasn't what I wanted anymore. It was like, no, I want, there's more to life, and I want my, I've got a son and I want to have time with him. It changed our whole outlook on our lives. We only had the one child we'd wanted to. We struggled to get pregnant because I was in my late 30s by then and it didn't happen. So we went through that whole feeling of all of that as well. So I had my son at 40. But I just like to share my story because for me, if I can help one other person, then that makes me feel good. And so I tell everybody who's got ME, I tell everybody who's struggling with things. And, you know, I think you do have to be in a position where you are ready to be helped and ready to help yourself. And the same kind of treatment, the same thing doesn't work for everybody. But basically, I can't say too much with the Lightning process because obviously it's a company that, you know. And it's,
I have heard of it and I've kind of had some controversial things. I've heard like stories like yours. I've heard opposite stories. I don't want to get sued. So we're not going to my understanding is they're very protective of their process and the way in which they do things. So I'm trying not to ask you any questions right now. I'm thinking about sort of different things. So let's think, like for me and my story and my experience, I've made lifestyle changes. I've realized there was things that just weren't serving me well, so I've made lifestyle choices. Changes, reducing stress has been one of the biggest things in managing my health stuff. So for you, what lifestyle changes are you aware that you've made? Because you said like you didn't go back to the work in the way that you did.
I've still been busy because I became a supply teacher for a while, which is really full on and very stressful. You wait for the call in the morning, you have to get yourself to wherever, and you might not know that particular school. You're in with children you don't know in a school environment you don't know, trying to assimilate the work that's been left for you to teach or take your own work. And so it's a stressful environment. So I've still been in stressful environments since. But I think what I learned at the Lightning process, which I think I'm allowed, you know, stuff that I'm allowed to say, is basically it was a combination of hypnotherapy, osteopathy, neuro-linguistic programming. But it was the blend that they used of those things and the approach that made it work for me. And I stayed in touch with somebody else that it worked for. There was another lady there who she went with her mum. We went with our husbands and she went with her mum, and she didn't seem to be making any progress at all. She really struggled. And basically what they were telling us was that if you've had, you know, because there's the whole yuppie flu thing, that it's people who just want an excuse to back out of a busy life. What they actually told us at the Lightning process is it's people who are driven, people who are determined, people who love to live at a high level. And then when you hit a period of either stress or physical illness, you work off the adrenaline that is coursing through your body. And that is what is almost like, it's kind of not quite the right words, but almost like poisoning your system. You can't cope with that adrenaline overload. and you do the boom slump cycle and you perpetuate the same pattern over and over again.
Yeah.
And then your muscles start wasting because you struggle to do anything. And so you're kind of perpetuating it yourself. But what they did tell us is that it is a physical illness, but it's a physical illness that it's definitely there. You know, it's not in people's imagination. It's not something people can just snap out of. But that psychological support as well as physical support can totally change your life.
Mm. And I completely agree with all of that. So my background is in massage therapy, and as a massage therapist, I would have a lot of clients that had like fibromyalgia, ME, and I started to, because I'm a curious soul, notice that it was the types of people that were very, very high powered jobs, very, very driven, maybe young and gifted people, often maybe neurodiversity as well that hadn't been picked up, and it this kind of busy people that were in that kind of space. And yeah, as I've progressed with my therapies, I mean, hypnotherapy is such a fantastic tool for kind of flipping the switch in the mind and changing the way in which we experience life and perceive things, and the way in which I've used it for myself to help me manage my symptoms. So I know it definitely is amazing tool. But when you're in that state of I can't even lift my head off a pillow, or like everything feels too much, it can be hard to consider that there is a possibility that something can be different, because we do often get told it's all in your head.
Yeah.
And so then being told a therapy that is mind-based, it can feel a bit like almost dismissive, I think, for some people.
Yeah.
Why there's that resistance.
People were very skeptical about my recovery. My mum will still say to me, even now, since 2006, you know, just take it steady. And, you know, and my husband was worried about a relapse for a long time. But I think the thing with the lightning process is, yeah, it was the 3 days, but I had to engage in the process for the following 6 months. Mm. And I still go back to reminding myself not to step back into where I was before. Mm. So there's that element that's still there, because, you know, it's a work in progress. But I understand now the link between the mind and the body, and that you can. You don't purposely cause it, but that there are things that you can do to either make it go away altogether and just keep an eye on yourself, or to make life easier. So I think it's really hard to explain. And I think, you know, because I have had people tell me that you can't cure a physical illness like ME with psychological treatment.
Mm.
But the mind does influence the body influences the mind, and the treatment that I had, people have doubted my diagnosis. People have said, you know, well, you can't have had ME, you can't have had it badly, but I know what I had, and I know that I struggled for 3 years, and I know it put my life on hold and stopped me having the family I wanted, and stopped me being the wife I wanted to be, the colleague I wanted to be, and the friend I wanted to be, and it changed my life. And to me, I was always driven to find a solution, and I was driven in the wrong directions for so long by just pushing myself forward and going, you can do this, pull yourself together, snap out of it, or feeling really sorry for myself and really low and in a dark place and blaming everybody else and everything, and it wasn't fair and everything. It wasn't fair. I still maintain it wasn't fair, and I still maintain that having my son at 40 when I wanted to have two children in my early 30s, missing out on going through everything at the same time as everybody else was going through it, feeling that envy, feeling that frustration, feeling that anxiety, wondering where my life was going, feeling like if I can't be a mum, what was I destined to be? Because I'd always wanted to be a mum, I'd always wanted to be a teacher, and I was neither, and that was depressing, and it made me feel low and frustrated. And I think my outlook is different now. I prioritize myself in different ways. Not enough, don't get me wrong. I push myself too damn hard still, excuse me. But yeah, that's what I do. And I know I shouldn't. And I keep having to give myself a talking to.
Yeah.
because I'm still that same person, essentially. I'm still driven, yeah, motivated, want to help everybody else, put everybody else first and do the things I want to do as well. And then it's like, heck, I've got no energy. I'm exhausted. I'm tired. But I'm now exhausted and tired, but I can tell myself I'm doing tired at the moment. Not anymore. Mm. I'm not, oh, it's not woe is me. I'm exhausted. It's like, I'm tired because I did too much. I'm tired because I'm just tired, or yeah, or whatever I am. But it's a temporary phase that I will come out of. Mm. And I'm no longer giving myself that excuse to give up when I feel like that.
So, and that's what I mean when I say when I do stuff now, I need to put recovery time in, because before I would just do, even before diagnosis, before like there was anything. And years ago, I would have to have a day where it's like, I'm exhausted. I need to, like, my body would make me sleep. I would just sleep for a day, because I'm trying. I, for me, was doing more than I actually wanted to do. There's more than I wanted to do. And I was depleting all of my energy and not fulfilling myself back up. And I think that's where, as a society, with the whole like busyness, and it's really, I'm struggling with the words today. So it's like, there's a difference between having a life that's busy and fulfilling and having a life that is just busyness, that all it does is deplete you, your energy. And I think for me, in the way that I view it, that's where it the shifts need to happen, in that, like, you find a life that you can be busy, but you need to be filling yourself up in the busyness, not just, I've got the visual of a battery, not just running yourself down and giving yourself to everyone, because I feel like that's when we fall into this place of, like, it's a different type of exhaustion. Is that making sense? I don't know if I'm making sense, because I don't think we have exactly the same viewpoints. I think we've got different views on these things, and that's interesting to me, but that's where I'm at with it.
Yeah, I think, I mean, for me, I will say, you know, I made a complete recovery because I did go up the mountain, back to teaching, had a baby, started my business, all those things, which I couldn't have done back then. I wasn't able to do those things back then at all. Mm. And I acknowledge that that's how I was in that time. And it was very hard. It was very difficult. And I feel very lucky that I've come out of the other side of it. I know there are people who will have gone through the same process as me and not come out the other side of it. Mm. In some ways, it might just be because they weren't at that right point. I mean, I know my sister struggles with fibromyalgia. She's not at a point where she's able at the moment to look at other things. She's in that closed in state where everything is, she can't do it. And she's tried to be helped by the doctor. We've tried to help her. We've tried to suggest things. We get, you know, you don't understand, you don't see. But I've lived through, not fibromyalgia, but I've lived through ME. Mm. And I understand how these things come about. And one of the things that I was told as well is, if you come from a very busy, intense background with pushy parents, particularly pushy mum, that you are also susceptible to things like ME and fibromyalgia. Mm. If you are a very driven, motivated, highly energized person, then you are susceptible to ME and fibromyalgia. And it's just because of how your body's reacting and everything else. And they said I could have carried on throughout the whole of my teaching career, had children, everything else, without having ME, but because I got the appendicitis, the laryngitis again, I couldn't run off, walk off, work off my adrenaline. So my body suffered as a result. And all that, everything that happened to me after those initial things was like muscle wasting. So then I didn't have the energy to do everything. So that's why I needed the stick. You know, so it was consequences of that happening to me, and also of how I handled it. But I want people to know that I would never say anything is anybody's fault, or they're not doing something about it when they could be, because I understand. And there were points where I couldn't have done anything about it. And there were points where I was feeling a little bit stronger and willing to give anything a go that would give me my life back. So I understand. I've been through the process. I've had 3 years of hell. I had 3 years of my life being on hold. It screwed up my life in terms of how I wanted it to turn out, how I wanted it to be. But it's also made me value my health and value my family and value everything else in ways previously when I'd have had, if I'd have had children, I would have probably been all pushy for the academic education side. I'd have carried on teaching full time. It's like, no, there's more to life. And I'm more open-minded. I did hypnobirthing before I had my baby, or I listened to a hypnobirthing CD. And when I went into labor at work and had my baby 3.5 hours later, I was really calm, which was massively unusual for me. But I'm more accepting of alternative therapies and different treatments, because the medical profession can help you a lot and they can support you a lot, but they don't know everything. And sometimes combinations of things, so the hospital support alongside alternative therapies, but it's knowing yourself, knowing your body, being able to trust yourself, being open-minded. I think all of those things can really help.
Yeah, absolutely, it does make a difference. And I echo as well, it is hard when you're kind of given a diagnosis, because I was given the same. It was, here's your diagnosis, and I was told there's nothing you can do about this, so you've got to stop looking for answers and just like accept it. And I was like, no, I don't believe that at all, because this just sounds a little bit like you don't really know what's going on for me, and you're just giving me this label, so I shut up and go away. And the medication I was given, the symptoms and the side effects of the medication were the same, and it did, I got worse. And then it was like, I started to apply the things that I actually knew from my own learning and sort out more stuff. And it was like, yeah, it does. There is a lot that we can do. So I'm not saying that everyone can find a cure in that they go back to life as it was before. But my question always is, was life as it was before actually healthy? Was life as it was before actually good for you? Do you need to go back to that life, or are you looking for a more sustaining, more fulfilling, more enriched, more calmer, more happier life? Because that's part of my story. That's the thing that I'm curious about. So I think we can all recover, but I don't know that many of us should go back to the life as it was before.
No, I chose not to teach full time. I made a conscious decision, and teaching part time was hard because I had to share my class with somebody else. So all the way through, when your day's off, you're constantly in contact over things, and it's not the same as having your own class and doing things your way, and the class moving your way, and everything else. I've done supply. That's not been the same. I've done like cover in different classes, and so it's not been, teaching's never been the same as when I was a full-time teacher. But I had no wish to return to it. It wasn't that I couldn't, because you know, going up a mountain, going back to volleyball, having a baby, doing all those things I've done, I could have gone back to teaching in some ways. Well, I'd have been paid a heck of a lot better, and I would have been going back to what I was trained in doing. And you know, in some ways I miss those opportunities, that because I was at a position in my career where I could have got promotion. And I find it hard now, if I'm going in on like a year's contract or 2 years contract or whatever, to be told by people who are younger than me, this is how you've got to do it. Like, and it's sort of hot housing children with complex grammatical terms, death by PowerPoint, and all the lack of creativity in ways that I don't believe in. And I just think, had I not had ME, I would have been able to take my path, and I'd have been senior leadership, able to juggle things, and when the new curriculum came in and everything else. And so I have those little regrets in some ways, but in other ways I spent a lot more time with my son than I would have had I stayed in full-time teaching. We've had more family time. It's worked out. My son's autistic, so it's beneficial that I've been around for the 5 years trying to get him the diagnosis. I live my life in a flexible way, running my own business. I mean, I went from, as I say, not being able to listen to the radio or read a book to writing a book while up for the 3 a.m. feed, unexpectedly. And then it got recommended in Mother and Baby magazine, and I was on the radio being interviewed live, and
yeah,
all these things. And I've been in national magazines about my story with ME. I was in Woman magazine and Chat magazine. I've been interviewed live on BBC Radio and told my story because I've written guest posts for people, because I believe that I was recently in a Disney training video talking about my experience of ME, because that Disney are very much looking at how they can help people on their travels.
Yeah.
To make life better for people who are disadvantaged by discrimination or disability. So I did that just because I want to spread the word, and I want people to understand more about ME and to know that it's not a life sentence, that yes, it's very, very difficult, and living with it can be absolutely hellish, but it's not for everybody. It's not a life sentence. And I want people to understand what people are going through when they're living it.
And just give people, and that's what this is all about, giving people that kind of hope and like the stories of hope and healing, and hopefully inspiring people that are on their journey to know that there is options, there is possibility, there is things out there that can support you in your wellness, on your self-care journey, and to really do create a life that you are loving and loving being in. So I feel like we probably are at time on that. Thank you so much for coming to share with me. Is there anything you want to leave people with today?
I think try and look at your tiredness and exhaustion and pain as temporary, rather than feeling like the pain has been given to you. It's a temporary thing. You're just going through it at the moment, but it is possible to come out of the other side. Regulate you can still have expectations, but try and avoid the boom slump cycle, because that's perpetuating your illness and your condition. Be open-minded to things that may help. It's like kissing a lot of frogs to find a prince. You know, the first thing you try might not be for you. The next thing you try might not be for you, but you may find something. But just kind of be aware of your thought patterns, and be open to the fact that the mind affects the body and the body affects the mind. And, you know, you may very well come out of the other side of this and live the life that you want for your future.
Thank you. I don't really think there's much more I can add to that. Keep an open mind. Keep an open mind. And like you say, the first thing you try might not be the thing that it is that you need. So do look at it as a journey of finding out what is going to be the most supportive thing for you, and give things a chance as you go along. Well, thank you so much for coming and speaking with me today.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you to those that have listened. I hope you've enjoyed today's episode. I'll be back next Wednesday with a new guest. Until then, stay curious and be kind to yourself.